From Great Plays, starring Walter Hamden.
Good evening. This is John Daly, your host. The families of the Episcopal Church in your community bring you each week at this same hour the Episcopal Actors Guild and invite you to share the dramatic inspiration of great scenes from great plays as transcribed by famous artists of our American theater. Our play tonight is Cyrano de Bergerac by Edmund Rostand. And our star, in the role of the unforgettable Cyrano, the incomparable Walter Hamden.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Daly.
Mr. Hamden, certainly no one could have a deeper understanding of tonight's play and its leading role than you have. So I wonder if you'd take a moment before you become Cyrano himself to tell us just why you think this great drama is a particularly good choice for the opening of our series.
Well, Mr. Daly, I think the answer to that is quite simple. The Episcopal families sponsoring the series decided that only plays with true spiritual inspiration would be selected. Cyrano is such a play. Its very greatness lies in its power to lift us out of ourselves and so lead us toward a deeper understanding of Christian religion.
Certainly, the character of Cyrano shows that he was a thoroughly good man.
Exactly. And that goodness is in Cyrano's complete self-denial of everything but his spirit.
And what of the man himself?
Well, I think Rostand pictures him best through the words of one of his friends who said that Cyrano was the best friend and the bravest soul alive. Poet, swordsman, musician, philosopher, and such a remarkable appearance, too, this Punchinello figure. And such a nose. One cannot look upon it without crying, "Oh, no, impossible, exaggerated." Then one smiles and says, "Of course, I might have known. Presently he will take it off. But that, Monsieur de Bergerac, will never do."
Of course. Mr. Hamden, Miss Anne Seymour is with us tonight to play Roxanne, who creates grace in her own image, the personification of the adage that love is blind. So on now to Cyrano de Bergerac and the story of his love for the exquisite Roxanne, who, alas, loves young Christian, a brother-in-arms from Cyrano's own regiment. But most of all, it is the story of how Cyrano wins Roxanne for Christian, even as his own heart is breaking. And in our first great scene, we find Cyrano and Christian together. Look, Paris dreams, nocturnal, nebulous, under blue moon beams hung from wall to wall, nature's own setting for the scene we play. Yonder, behind her veil of mist, the Seine, like a mysterious and magic mirror, trembles. Cyrano is hopelessly in love with Roxanne, but she, not knowing this, has told him it is handsome Christian she loves. But Christian fears that once Roxanne hears him speak, she will despise him, and Cyrano asks,
"But why?"
Because I am a fool. I have a sort of rough-and-ready soldier's tongue, I know that. But with any woman, paralyzed, speechless, dumb, can only look at them. Oh, if I had words to say what I have here.
If I could be a handsome little musketeer with eyes.
Besides, you know Roxanne's, how sensitive. One rough word and the sweet illusion gone.
I wish you might be my interpreter.
I wish I had your wit.
Borrow it, then. Your beautiful young manhood. Lend me that, and we two make one hero of romance.
What?
Would you dare repeat to her the words I gave you day by day?
But Cyrano...
But Christian, why not?
I'm afraid.
I know. Afraid that when you have her all alone, you lose all. Have no fear. 'Tis yourself she loves. Give her yourself. Put into words my words upon your lips.
But your eyes, they burn like...
Will you?
Does it mean so much to you?
It means a comedy, a situation for a poet. Come, shall we collaborate? I'll be your cloak of darkness, your enchanted sword, your ring. to charm the fairy princess.
Now in the Paris night, Cyrano and Christian have come to Roxanne's garden. They have sent her a letter written by Cyrano, signed by Christian, and have made this rendezvous. The time has come now. They stand before the house of Roxanne and her garden wall hung with tall shrubbery. Over the door of the house there is a balcony and a tall window. The young musketeer appeals to Cyrano.
Help me. I cannot live unless she loves me. Now, this moment.
How the devil am I to teach you now, this moment?
Look, up there, quick.
Her window.
Well.
It does seem very dark. Let us try what can be done. Stand over there. Idiot, there, before the balcony. Let me stand underneath. I'll whisper you what to say.
She may hear.
Call
her. Roxanne.
Wait, here. This gravel at her window. There.
Who is calling?
I, Christian. I had to tell you.
I love you.
Now be eloquent. You have your theme. Improvise. Rhapsodize.
I love you.
Evermore.
Evermore.
And ever more and more.
And ever more and more.
But tell me why you speak so haltingly.
Christian, this grows too difficult. Let me stand there. I'll take your place before the balcony, and you take mine here, underneath.
Has your imagination gone lame? Your words tonight hesitate. Why?
Through the warm summer gloom, they grope in darkness toward the light of you.
My words, well aimed, find you more readily.
My heart is open wide and waits for them. Too large a mark to miss. Moreover, yours fall to me swiftly. Mine more slowly rise.
Yet not so slowly as they did at first.
They have learned the way, and you have welcomed them.
Am I so far above you now?
So far. If you let fall upon me one hard word out of that height, you crush me.
I'll come down.
No.
Stand you on the bench. Come near.
No.
And why so great a no?
Let me enjoy the one moment I ever... my one chance to speak to you. Unseen.
Unseen?
Yes. Yes. How can you know what this moment means to me? You've never heard till now my own heart speaking. But tonight, indeed, I speak for the first time.
For the first time, your voice even is not the same.
How should it be? I have another voice tonight, my own, myself daring. Where was I? I forget. Forgive me. This is all sweet, like a dream. Love. I love beyond breath, beyond reason, beyond love's own power of loving. Your name is like a golden bell hung in my heart. And when I think of you, I tremble, and the bell swings and rings. Roxanne, Roxanne. Along my veins, Roxanne.
Yes, that is love.
Yes, that is love. That wind of terrible and jealous beauty blowing over me. That dark fire. That music. Yet love seeketh not his own. Dear, you may take my happiness to make you happier, even though you never know I gave it you. Only let me hear, sometimes, all alone, the distant laughter of your joy. I never look at you, but there's some new virtue born in me, some new courage. Do you begin to understand a little? Can you feel my soul there in the darkness breathe on you?
Yes.
Oh, but tonight, now, I dare say these things. I, to you, and you hear them. It is too much. In my most sweet, unreasonable dreams, I have not hoped for this. Now let me die having lived. It is my voice, mine, my own, that makes you tremble there in the green gloom above me. For you do tremble as a blossom among the leaves. You tremble, and I can feel all the way down along these jasmine branches, whether you will or no, the passion of you trembling.
Yes, I do tremble, and I weep, and I love you, and I am yours. And you have made me thus.
What is death like, I wonder? I know everything else now. I have done this to you. I, myself. Only let me ask one thing more.
One kiss.
One?
Christian, you go too far.
You ask me for...
Yes, but I mean...
She's willing. Make the most of it.
I did ask, but I know I ask too much.
Win me that kiss.
Are you still there? We were speaking of...
A kiss. The word is sweet. What will the deed be? Are your lips afraid even of its burning name? Not much afraid, not too much. Have you not unwittingly laid aside laughter, slipping beyond speech, even to tears? One step more, only one, from a tear to a kiss. One step, one thrill.
Hush!
And what is a kiss? A rosy dot over the eye of loving. A secret whispered to listening lips. A part. A moment made immortal with a rush of wings, unseen. A sacrament of blossoms. A new song sung by two hearts to an old simple tune. The ring of one horizon around two souls, together all alone.
Then come, gather your sacred blossoms.
Go, Christian, climb.
Your old new song, your moment made immortal.
Climb, climb up, animal.
Roxanne.
So.
Christian.
Roxanne.
Roxanne. I have won what I have won, the feast of love.
And I am Lazarus.
Yet I have something here that is mine now. And was not mine before I spoke the words that won her. Not for me. Kissing my words upon your lips.
And thus, the poet's words upon the soldier's lips have won the lady's love. And now, the setting for our second scene. 15 years later, it is October. Christian has been killed in the wars. Roxanne, his widow, lives in a convent. Never for a single week in 10 years has faithful Cyrano failed to visit Roxanne. Concealing his love, he has come every week with news of Paris and the court. Above the still living green of the turf, all the foliage is red and yellow and brown. Leaves are falling everywhere, and Roxanne sits and talks with an old friend, De Guiche, once Cyrano's old enemy.
And you remain here, wasting all that gold forever in mourning?
Forever.
And still faithful?
And still faithful.
And his last letter, always at your heart?
It hangs here always, at my heart. Sometimes I think he has not altogether died.
And Cyrano?
I see him every week. My old friend takes the place of my Gazette, brings me all the news. Every Saturday, if the day be fine, I wait for him, embroidering. The hour strikes, then I hear, I need not turn to look, at the last stroke his cane rapping the steps. And then he tells me the story of the past week. Ah, here's Lebray. How is it with our friend, with Cyrano?
Badly, madame. Monsieur, his satires make a host of enemies.
But they fear that sword of his. No one dare touch him.
And yet, though it is true that no one dares attack your friend, the other day at court, somebody said to me, this man, Cyrano, may die accidentally.
Thank you.
You may thank me. Keep him at home all you can. Tell him to be careful.
Careful? Cyrano, tell him? No. He'll say, I'll die upon what day and in what way I choose myself. But now, 'tis almost time for him to come. So, gentlemen, you will forgive me.
Of course, madame. Adieu.
Adieu. Monsieur, your warning.
Yes. Yes, Lebray.
It comes too late. I could not tell her. She need not know so soon. I went to see him today, my friend. As I came near his door, I saw him coming out. I hurried on to join him. At the corner of the street as he passed, could it be an accident, I wonder? At the window overhead, a lackey with a heavy log of wood let it fall.
Cyrano!
I ran to him. I found him lying there, a great hole in his head.
Is he alive?
Alive, yes, but I had to carry him up to his room.
Is he suffering?
No. Unconscious.
The doctor.
One came for charity. He said fever and lesions of the... I forget those long names. Oh, if you had seen him there...
Now let us go quickly. There is no one to care for him. All alone, he may die.
Cyrano! the hour. You will be coming now. All done striking. He never was so late before. Certainly nothing could ever keep him away. His cane. After 14 years late for the first time.
I was detained by...
Well?
A visitor. Most unexpected.
Did you tell him to go away?
For the time being, yes. I said, excuse me, this is Saturday. I have a previous engagement. One I cannot miss even for you. Come back an hour from now.
Your friend will have to wait. I shall not let you go too dark.
Perhaps a little before dark. I must go.
Here, sit here in your chair beneath this tree.
The leaves.
What color? Perfect Venetian red. I'll look at them fall.
Yes, they know how to die. A little way from the branch to the earth. A little fear of mingling with the common dust. And yet they go down gracefully.
Melancholy. You?
Why, no, Roxanne.
Then let the leaves fall. Tell me now the court news. My gazette.
Let me see. Saturday the 19th. The king fell ill after 8 helpings of grape marmalade. His malady was brought before the court, found guilty of high treason, whereupon his majesty revived. The royal pulse is now normal. Sunday the 20th, the queen gave a grand ball at which they burned 763 wax candles.
Oh.
Note, 22nd. All the court has gone to... Fontainebleau.
Still or no?
Nothing. My old wound at Arras. Sometimes, you know.
My poor friend.
Oh, it is nothing. It will soon be gone. There. It is gone.
We all have our old wounds. I have mine here at my heart under this faded scrap of writing. It's hard to read now.
His letter... Did you not promise me that someday you would let me read it?
His letter? You wish?
I do wish it. Today.
Here.
Farewell, Roxanne. Because today I die.
Aloud?
I know that it will be today, my own dearly beloved. And my heart still so heavy with love I have not told. And I die without telling you.
How you read it, his letter.
I remember now the way you have of pushing back a lock of hair with one hand from your forehead. My heart cries out.
His letter. And you read it so.
Cries out and keeps crying. Farewell, my dear, my dearest.
In a voice.
My own heart's own, my own treasure.
In such a voice.
My love.
As I remember hearing long ago.
I am never away from you. Even now I shall not leave you. In another world, I shall be still that one who loves you beyond measure, beyond...
How can you read now? It is dark.
Oh, Roxanne.
And all these 14 years, you have been the old friend who came to me to be amusing.
Roxanne?
It was you. And I might have known every time that I heard you speak my name.
No. It was not I.
It was you.
I swear.
I understand everything else now. The letters, that was you. And the dear foolish words, that was you.
No.
And the voice in the dark, that was you.
On my honor.
And the soul, that was all you.
I never loved you.
Yes, you loved me. Even now you love me.
No.
And why so great a no?
No, my own dear love, I love you not.
Why were you silent for so many years? And why do you break that silence now, today?
Why? Oh, because... Nothing. I did not finish my gazette. Saturday 26th. An hour or so before dinner, Monsieur de Bergerac died. Foully murdered.
Cyrano, what have they done to you?
Struck down by the sword of a hero, let me fall. Steel in my heart and laughter on my lips. Yes, I said that once. How fate loves a jest. Behold me, ambushed, taken in the rear. My battlefield, a gutter. My noble foe, a lackey with a log of wood. It seems too logical. I have missed everything. Even my death. We're going to pray now. There goes the bell.
Sister. No, sister.
No, do not go away. I may not still be here when you return.
You shall not die. I love you.
No, that is not in the story.
And I have done this to you. All my fault, mine.
Philosopher and scientist, poet, musician, duelist. He flew high and fell back again. A pretty wit whose like we lack.
A lover
not like other men.
Here lies Hercule Savinien de Cyrano de Bergerac, who was all things, and all in vain. I must go. Pardon. I cannot stay.
I never loved but one man in my life, and I have lost him twice.
Not here! Not lying down? Did no one help me?
No one. Only the tree. It is coming. I feel already shod with marble, gloved with lead.
Let the old fellow come now. He shall find me on my feet, sword in hand.
Oh, Cyrano.
I can see him there. He grins. He's looking at my nose, that skeleton.
What's that you say? Hopeless? Why, very well, but a man does not fight merely to win.
You there, who are you? I know you now, my ancient enemies. Falsehood, there, prejudice, compromise, cowardice. What's that?
No.
Surrender? No, never.
You too, vanity. I knew you would overthrow me in the end.
No, I fight on.
I fight on.
Cyrano.
Yes. All my laurels you have riven away. And all my roses.
Yet in spite of you, there is one crown I bear away with me. And tonight when I enter before God, my salute shall sweep all the stars away from the blue threshold. One thing without stain, unspotted from the world, in spite of doom, my own. And that is...
And that is...
My white plume.
In a moment, Walter Hamden will be back and will tell you about next week's play. But now, an important message inspired by the great scenes just portrayed. Today, all of us are deeply troubled by the discords and divisions of the world we live in. We are frightened by the dark shadows of war, which fall across even our brightest days. How, we ask ourselves, how can we make sense out of this confused and troubled world? The answer to that question isn't simple. No one of us is wise enough, no one of us is influential enough to change the immediate conditions under which we have to live. Yet there is something each one of us can do. We can start by seeing to it that we are the kind of people who are ready to live in a better world. The place to begin is with ourselves. In tonight's famous play, Cyrano's lifelong, self-denying love for Roxanne moved us deeply. How is a man able to rise to such heights of character? He did it not by crying out in bitterness over his physical ugliness. He did it not by turning his clever wit to destroy the happy marriage of Christian and Roxanne. He did it not by making over the circumstances in which he lived. He did it by making something out of himself. To win any battle with yourself isn't easy. But it's easier if you have help. It's easier if you have encouragement. It's easier if you have guidance. Well, one of the best ways to find such help is to seek it from the church and through an experienced clergyman. If you're a member of the church, you will already know from your own experience that this is true. If you're not a member of the church,
We urge you to discover just how much richer your life can become. To discover just how much help you can get when you receive that which only the church can give. Or perhaps the Episcopal Church will be able to give you what you need. To assist you to know something about the Episcopal Church, what it is, what it stands for, how it offers you a faith to live by in these difficult times, we've prepared an informative booklet called Finding Your Way. Now, this booklet will be sent to you if you'll send a postcard or a letter with your name and address to the station to which you are listening.
Walter Hamden, tonight's star in Cyrano de Bergerac, was supported by Anne Seymour as Roxanne, with Lon Clark, Roger DeCoven, and Horace Braham as supporting players. Mr. Hamden, it was wonderful hearing you as Cyrano again.
It was wonderful being here, Mr. Daly.
And now, with your permission, I would like to announce some great good news for the next week and the weeks following. The Episcopal Actors Guild takes pride and pleasure in announcing that beginning next week, Walter Hamden, star of tonight's play, will become your permanent host on this new radio series. With this distinguished American actor bringing great stars of the theater to our microphone each week, you can be sure of dramatic inspiration well worth waiting for.
Thank you very much. It's quite true, Mr. Daly, that we have many inspiring plays and delightful stars planned for the coming weeks. Next week, for instance, the charming and gifted actress Miss Jane Cowell in the brilliant play Candida by George Bernard Shaw. I hope you'll all be listening then. But right now, I urge you to listen to an important invitation that comes to you from a friend in your own community.
This is the Reverend John Williams of Trinity Church on West Elm Street in Springfield. Speaking for all the members of my parish, may I welcome you as a listener to great scenes from great plays. And may I extend to you a very friendly invitation to be with us at our 11 o'clock morning service next Sunday. If you can join us at Trinity Church next Sunday, I hope you will speak to me personally after the service.